I feel at the moment a little bit like I'm coming down on a parachute. I've been out of town. I've been in Florida for 2.5 weeks, preaching at I think was the best conference that we've had so far with those men I just already named. That was Philip, Dr. Leon, Mike Petzer, Andy Elms, myself, and Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Tremendous time. I thank God that Josh and Elaine were able to join us. Ken was there. Dave Sire came down and joined us. And it was a powerful time, really fed me. And then when we went to the staff retreat, now the staff retreat is all the Overland staff. There was about 50-something of them. I get an opportunity to minister to them there. And then afterwards, we thought we were going to go and chill out a little bit in Florida, but turns out that spend most of our time ministering, counseling. Sure, we do it over food. You know, there's a great restaurant down there. Unfortunately, putting on weight, I have to slap myself. But there was a great restaurant we went called Tai Tai. And I was very privileged because I went there with David and Fiona Kilo. Those of you that know the guys, the ones who led the, I went with them to the Amazon in July. And what was really special to me is they said, Vaughn, this is the first place we ever came on our first date. I thought, oh, how sweet to actually be part of that. That they actually, well, I knew her before he did, of course. She was a friend of my daughter Sarah's. And it's strange when these things happen, because I knew Philip's wife before he did. I knew Mike Petzer's wife before he did. So some of these things, you know, you can understand why our lives are based on relationship. They're based on relationship. We must understand that God knew Jesus before you did. God knew the Holy Spirit before you did. And this is why in the Epistle of John, it says that we've seen and we've handled and we've tasted concerning the word of life. It says so that your fellowship may be with us. We seem to forget that was what John, the Revelator, John, the great apostle, John the Beloved, actually said, that your fellowship may be with us. And our fellowship is truly with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So this is why it's so important to be in fellowship. It's so important to be in these relationships that bring you into a whole nother place. This is why the scripture talks about that the manifold wisdom of God may be made manifest to principalities and powers by the church. By the church, not by the individual. No individual knows the manifold wisdom of God. No individual knows that much. And these are important things. This is why the scripture says in the book of Ephesians, I believe, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and the length and the breadth, and to know the love of God that passes understanding, because individually we don't know these things. One of the exciting things is our ministry, the reason. Now, some of you don't even realize that I am the founder of this church right now, the King's Fire Church, and I am resigning as senior pastor and president of this church and corporation at the end of this year, and Josh and Elaine are coming in. Now, do you know too many people that do that? And the reason I'm saying this is because I am so concerned about the next generation. I'm 62 years old. I'm a lot younger than most of you people here, who are 20 years younger than me. But the reality is because I'm so concerned about the next generation. This is our purpose, is to raise up the next generation. And we're looking for people who are young in mind, young in spirit, young in heart, fresh in ideas, are not stuck in a rut, to be able to build with us. But if you're still living in the past, you're already old. When your past is bigger than your future, you're old. Did you hear what I just said? When your past is bigger than your future, you are old. My past isn't bigger than my future. My future is bigger than my past. Well, I'm now president of IDF, India Development Foundation. Do you know how big that is? That's 1.2 billion people. There are more people going to hell per minute in India than any other country in the world, including China. Because there are more people who are saved in China than there are in India. So I'm saying this because my tomorrows are huge. My tomorrows are full of life, full of challenge, full of energy. And that's where I live. I live in my tomorrows, not my yesterdays. I'm so thankful that Steve, when he came from South Africa, 80 years old, as soon as he came down here, sure, he's adapted a little bit, mainly to the climate that didn't make him too well for a while. But then when I got down there, when I saw him on Friday or whatever it was, he said, oh, I'm completely well. I'm totally healed. My chest is, I got my joy back. And this guy's 80 years old. He's full of life. It's because he's got a tomorrow. And I'm asking you, where are your tomorrows? Where are you going? What are you doing? It's a statistical fact that once you get to 35 years old, you stop learning. You stop growing. Unless you're born again and that person's been crucified. Hallelujah. In which case, it doesn't matter. But if you're not teachable, malleable, if you haven't got that certain something that you receive from God, having been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, then you're just living in the past. Why do you think you're still miserable and upset and angry and bitter and unforgiving? It's because you're living in the past. You don't have to unforgive it, and you don't have to forgive anybody for tomorrow. Anyway, so I'm preoccupied. I'm coming down in this parachute, and I know I'm coming, falling into the land of Canaan. I know there's giants. That's not the point. Amen. And the fact that IDF now is part of GMR, Global Ministries and Relief, which is what Dr. Leon has been building for 25 years. And not only am I part of that ministry, not only did we link and synergize everything, he actually has made me a director of Global Ministries and Relief. And I'm going, what the heck does that mean? I'm now a director of somebody else's. What? He said, and I'm not just bringing you in as a director for all the work in India, which you are. He said, but your voice in every element of our ministry. I'm going, I can't get it. I can't go. I'm a director of Pastor Mike Petz's church. So you see and understand the synergy of the kingdom of God. And if any two on earth agree, you get a cup of tea while you're preaching. Thanks, babes. As the other one is, I am through with Mountain Dew. I am having nothing to do with you. I heard that recently. I thought it was very appropriate for someone. I can't think who. Anyway. Praise hallelujah. Andy Elms, a pastor of 1,000 people in 6 congregations in England, has linked his ministry with Dr. Leon so that they'll be working together at their vision. It's just powerful what God's doing. This is why I want to keep explaining to you folks, you are not just coming to this church. This is just the on-ramp to great things that are happening all around the world that you're included in. And if you're not included in it, it's not because we ain't letting you. Now, of course, you know, in all of... Josh, tear that thing off of me. You got it? Thanks, mate. In real estate, the most important thing is, remember... And most pastors say the most important thing in a church is faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. But with me, the most important thing is attitude, attitude, attitude. If you don't have a good attitude, we cannot use you. God cannot use you. He can't use you. It's all about your attitude, everything. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, on top of all that, hallelujah, everything that's happening and isn't happening, I got daughters in India that are leaving on Tuesday to go to Thailand. Now, you know, these things, I got a son who just bought a house, praise God. His first house, I'm excited about that. So I'm really preoccupied. If you think I'm walking past you and ignoring you, what I'm actually doing is walking past you and ignoring you. It's because there's something in my mind, and I'm sorry, I haven't digested everything that's gone on in my last 3 weeks. And it's just like, what? There's so much happening. The energy. Yet in the midst of it, one of my best friends in the world, his brother, as I've already told you, is suffering a terrible injury. So what I want to talk about, and let's just play this one a little bit. What do you think, this is not a trick question, is the most famous verse in the Bible? Come on. Absolutely. It's got to be John 3:16, right? Now, of course, in my limited education, I want to know, and I need some of you English majors to help me on this, what is the subject, what is the object, what is the noun, what is the verb of that sentence? Somebody help me. Gee, I thought I was bad at English. Come on, mate, it can't be that hard, is it? What? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's the subject? God is the subject. Okay. What is the object? That's what I thought. Isn't the object the world? No. Come on, English majors. Who's got a degree in English around here? So loved. It's not a sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's not a sentence. God, mate. See, now you know why we need each other. We just quoted the most famous Bible in scripture in the Bible. And everyone's going, oh, God, I don't know what it means. Oh, help me. Everyone's gone on tilt. And those who really know and are still discussing it, why didn't you speak up when I asked? Anyway. But what is the purpose? What is the number one purpose of Jesus? The number one purpose of Jesus. Again, it's not a trick question. I'm going to read it to you. And what I believe the number one purpose of Jesus is. I really do believe this. And praise God. I've got to find it now. Okay. I would say a couple of verses. All right, bear with me. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, past tense, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I think that is the number one purpose. So I'm looking for another verse here that I threw together here. Praise God. Are we doing okay?
Yeah.
Here it is. Oh, sorry, that was 1 John 3:8. And if you're not making notes, then you are here for some other reason than being equipped. That was a challenge. That was a challenge. Because you're now going to remember everything I say in the next 40 minutes, right? Not. How many of you got a college degree without taking a pen and a piece of paper to college? None of you. Yet you come to church and expect to be qualified without a pen and a piece of paper. Okay, that just gives you an idea of why we don't understand what the church is. Okay, that was 1 John 3:8. Here we go. Stop talking to yourself. It's my turn. Now, Timothy 1:15 says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul talking about his previous life. Right, here we go. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, therefore don't argue with it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So let's not argue about his primary purpose. His primary purpose is not to bless you. His primary purpose is not to make you feel good. His primary purpose is not to take away all of your bills, your dysfunctions, your bad attitudes. His primary purpose of coming to this world is to save sinners and to destroy. To do what? Okay, let's go back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We all know that. That whosoever should believe in him should not. No. Stop right there. Perish. I mean, I don't know if you've ever suffered anything or anyone that's perished. How many babies perish in America every year? And thank God for the ministry that Diane is doing, that has got on the front page of the local newspaper on Sunday, because some babies have not perished. Hallelujah. There's no other word. We use the word aborted, which is a dreadful word. We even use the word murder. We use the word suffer. We use the word pain. But ain't the word God used. Because without Jesus, you perish. Amen. In this life and eternally. Asking, I know I've told you, I'm going to tell you quickly, when I came out of Marshall's once here, where I buy most of my clothes, like any sensible person would, buy them off the clearance rack, which is why I live a debt-free life. It's not the point. But I saw an old man walking, and he had a tattoo on the inside of his forearm. And I knew what that was. And I wanted to talk to him, but I was so embarrassed. I was embarrassed? Yes, I was embarrassed. I embarrassed very easy, actually. And I walk up to him in the parking lot. And I said, excuse me, sir. He looks at me, just a little guy. I couldn't but help noticing that tattoo on the inside of your arm. He went, Auschwitz! That's all he said. Oh, I couldn't do any more. I had to leave. Auschwitz! Because 6 million Jews perished. They didn't die. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? They didn't die. They perished. No, listen, I'm doing the preaching. Stop that. If you can't hear what I'm saying, then wait till you get in the pulpit and I'll listen to what you've got to say. Now listen. 6 million Jews perished. They were slowly taken away their privileges while they were in, let's say, Warsaw. And then they were thrown in a ghetto and bricked up. Until there was not enough food, until the sewage was so filthy, the place stenched, the vermin overran the place. Then, after that, for a couple of years, they were put in cattle carts where it was so crowded they couldn't sit down, only jammed in together. And they were on those trains for several days sometimes with no food and no water. Then when they came out of there, they were in forced labor where they began to look like skeletons. And then at the end of all that, after they were brutalized and used and abused, then they were put in gas chambers. That's perishing. Amen. That isn't dying. Can you see my point? That's perishing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. And we begin to perish in this life without God. Amen. And if you have God and you're still perishing, it's because of ignorance and unbelief. And so I want to get across this purpose. The Son of God was manifested to destroy that. Not for us just to sing nice. A lot of people think your main function on this earth is to worship. Get a life. When the Bible says the Father seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth, he's not talking about singing. Not talking about singing. How many people worship God in the Gospels? Fell at Jesus' and worshipped him. They didn't sing. There's no band. They were groveling at his feet. That's worship. Anyway, where was I? Having a cup of tea. I want you to understand sometimes the gravity of salvation. So, I've got lots of verses here. And, okay, we get the point here, right? I mean, I know you're quiet. I know I got the point across. Here we go. Right. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, we must remember the works of the devil was rooted in rebellion. But the work of the devil is sin, sickness, poverty, anxiety. And one thing that I really want to eliminate from our lives, and that's this. He's redeemed us from the curse. The curse of the thorns. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you just love your job? How many of you would do it if you didn't get paid for it? All right, yeah, there's a couple. There's three. That's good. And I know those guys, so I'll handle it. There's a fourth. You, I don't know yet. But that's I am available. If you want to know me, look for me. I'm about this tall. Anyway. Right. You see, God designed us to work. See, see this garden? Yeah. Everything you need. There's nothing you need outside of this garden. Okay. What do I have to do? Just look after it. Weed it. Cultivate. Not weed it. There were no weeds. Cultivate it. Look after it. You know, just do the things. I don't know what one does. Trim it down. I don't know. Look after it. Work. Then the curse came and the thorns came. So now work has thorns in it. So if your life has thorns in your work, you haven't finished being redeemed yet. If you are still saying, thank God it's Friday, instead of thank God it's Monday, you ain't free yet. Get my point? For this purpose, the Son of God is manifest to destroy the work of the thorns. Amen. So it's important. Because if you don't start believing that, it can't happen. Now, Steve, apparently, my father-in-law, was telling X and Sarah, my daughter and son-in-law, that about when he visited us in Jerusalem. Now, I don't particularly say this other than, these are what we said before, but like the one thing he said that I heard X repeat was, he said, they were so poor in Jerusalem, but serving God, that he bought a chicken, for dinner. And the whole house went nuts. Ah, a chicken, praise God, you know? Because these were our pre-poor days. Now, our poor days, as I've told you before, is when we used to cut a McDonald's hamburger in half. That was our poor days. Our pre-poor days was when we thought who people could go to McDonald's were rich. You see, we didn't start with a Lincoln. We started with shoes with holes in. That's how we started in the ministry. Because as you know, most of you know, when I got to Jerusalem, I had one pair of shoes and they were both split across the sole. They just, wah, wah. They did. And I wore those for months until God gave me a new pair. But anyway, what I want you to see is God wants to destroy the works of the wicked one, as it says in King James, the evil one who wants to make you perish slowly, wall you up, put you in the ghetto of poverty, put you in the ghetto of the system, put you in the ghetto where you work for the man instead of work for God. He wants to put you in the system where you depend on Egypt and the systems of Egypt. Woe unto you that go down to Egypt and trust in horses and chariots, for horses are flesh and not spirit. This is why the prophets warned us. This is going to happen, guys. Of course, we couldn't do it because we had a sinful nature. But then Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, took out my heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh, gave me a new heart, gave me a new nature, gave me a new spirit, and now I'm his son. No, I'm not the pastor. I'm his son. And as I said the other day, if we was to eliminate the word pastor and the word missionary out of our vocabulary, take those two extremes out. The guy that stays behind four walls and strokes people. Not these four walls. Listen to me again. Do you know how many of you are looking for a pastor? I want to say you're not going to find one here, but I won't say that. Because in your mind, a pastor is the answer to all your problems and weaknesses. We ain't gotten you there, mate. Eliminate the word pastor and then eliminate the word missionary.
Oh, it's all right for you. You've been to 77 countries.
Yeah, I went there one at a time. I put my pants on in the morning, one leg at a time.
But once they're on, gold records. That was for you. More cowbell. Anyway. People who don't like SNL, I don't know, where the heck, where's your head? So anyway, I want you to stay with me. Are we doing okay? Thanks, Ed. Your voice is loud enough to override the quietness. All right, a few more scriptures. Are you doing all right? Okay. Here we go. Right. It says here, this is a faithful saying worthy of all accepting, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Have you ever wondered, why do they call him Christ Jesus sometimes and not Jesus Christ? And you know what? I really don't have that answer yet, but I'm going to throw something out here. Just do something. So what it's saying, okay, you are the anointed. You are the anointed Savior. You are the, that's what Christ means. Christ is just a Latin word. I mean, it's not even Hebrew, Greek. It's a Latin word for anointed. It's a, therefore, anointed Christ was manifest, that he came to destroy, to save sinners. Now, do you remember in Matthew 16 when Jesus was at Capernaum and he said to the people, who do you say, he said, who do you say I am? And we know the story. It's Matthew 16, 15, 16 in there. And he says, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one that has been prophesied all the way back since the beginning. You are the Christ that Isaiah clearly said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So if you've got a... If you're still suffering from a broken heart, which I know some of you are, you haven't yielded to the anointing. And I know some of you don't yield to the anointing because some of you never lift your hands, never come to the front, and some of you, I noticed this morning, don't even open your mouth during the worship. You aren't yielding. Diane preached it this morning about how to release the power of God. You cannot... You cannot give birth if you're resistant. Are you yielding or are you still right and we're all wrong? Let alone is God wrong. No. Are you right and we're all wrong? That's a good question. It's a good question. I know some of you think we're wrong. I've no idea why you come here. Why the heck would you go to a church where you think the leaders are wrong? I mean, what are you thinking? Go find somewhere else. Why come and sit in a room where... Anyway, just I don't know. I've never done it in my life, so I don't know. Well, I've done it like as a guest, and then I thought, uh-uh, this is not for me. Okay. Now, what I want to get here is he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed, King James, the only thing I remember, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You did not get this at school. You did not get this at the Egyptian schools. The Egyptian schools cannot teach you this. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he says, and upon this rock, it's not talking about Peter. He's talking about revelation knowledge. Yeah. Upon this rock of revelation knowledge, I will. It didn't say I'll save you. It didn't say I'll bless you. It didn't say I'll make you feel good. It didn't say I'll use you to solve the problems in your life. It didn't say that. When you understand the anointing, then you'll understand the church. And one of the reasons why most of you are not getting the blessings of God that you actually have by inheritance is you are resisting the church. What? You're looking at me like I'm wrong. I know I ain't. You see what I'm saying? You're resisting the church. Upon this rock of revelation, I will build the church. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the principalities and powers by the church, not the individual. I keep telling you this, and I'm going to keep saying it. The devil will kick your butt if you take him on your own. I don't care who you think you are. I mean, the seven sons of Sceva, just one example. If you don't know the story in the book of Acts, seven sons, they came to this guy who was demon-possessed, which, anyway. And they said, we adjure you. That's King James. Nice word. I like the King James. I've been reading the New King James for 22 years. I still quote the King James. It's hard. Train up a child. I adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. Now, how many of you are still serving the Jesus that Vaughan preaches? Or the Jesus that Josh preaches? Or the Jesus of the last church you went to preaches? How many of you? I know several, right? Then, the guy with the demons, seven guys, right, says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? See, my question to you is, does the devil know your name? If the devil doesn't know your name, you're still preaching my gospel. You're not preaching yours, you're preaching mine. How do I know you're preaching? So it's when I give you the mic and you've got nothing to say. That's when you have no power over demonic forces. If I give you this mic and say something, I say something about Jesus, and you've got nothing to say, you don't know the anointing, and the devil doesn't know your name, and he is kicking your butt. Now, this is fighting talk. I understand that. I get that. What is the purpose of coming to church? To be equipped. What is the purpose of actually coming to church is to be equipped. So, I'm not sure how many ways I can say it. We could say, what is your purpose of coming to church? Because I'm the president of Vineyard Development Foundation, but we won't do that. Okay. Now, I'd like to remind you, remember the next part of that story? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And whatever you bind on earth, having been bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth, having been loosed on heaven. Right? Binding and loosing comes by revelation, not by prayer. Did you just hear what I said? Binding and loosing comes by revelation, not by prayer. I have a revelation, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Doesn't come by prayer, comes by revelation. I have a revelation, I was young and now I'm 62 years old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. That doesn't come by prayer, comes by revelation. Okay? I build my life upon revelation through the gospel I preach, not the gospel somebody else preaches, which is why Paul said in Ephesians, I believe, chapter 3, he said, when you read my letter, you will understand my mystery
in the kingdom of God. When you read it, you'll understand. When you only hear me preach it, you might not understand it. That's why you want to read it, grasp it, meditate on it, and say it. Then you'll get it. Then you'll have power over the wicked one. And then you'll have a thorn-free life. Am I getting through here? Okay. Now, immediately after the greatest revelation that Jesus ever actually said, Jesus then said, okay, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified and die. And Mr. Just Heard From God said, no! Which is not Spanish for getting the ball between the sticks. What he said was, Jesus, do anything except die. Now, I want to say to you right now, listen to me. Christians will do anything but die and think they'll get the anointing. Until you die to yourself, until you die to your own will. Come on, folks. I've been in this game a long time. Hallelujah. I'm in my 34th year of salvation. I'm in my 33rd year of full-time ministry. Until you die, I preached it before I went to the conference. I preached it at the conference, and I'm preaching it now. 2 Corinthians 7, 2 and 3, where he says, open your heart to us. We've wronged no one. He said, we say this because you're in our hearts. And then he says, to die together and live together. You see, we all want to live together. We want to have a good marriage, good kids, good family, good relationships, good friends, good business, good work, good everything. We want that, but we're trying to live together before we die together. It won't happen that way. There is no resurrection life without the cross. It doesn't exist. Which is why Bonhoeffer called it cheap grace. You think you get the grace of God without the cross? Not possible. Not possible. All right, let me give you a verse here. Praise God. Okay. Those of you that are making notes, here it is. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Are you ready? We're trying to wrap this up. I've got so much, but I... Listen to this. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Jesus, likewise shared in the same. I want you to hear this. Don't be distracted. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, there is no way to destroy the works of the devil except through death. There's no other way. Who invented mics anyway? My question is always, what can you do with that electricity? Do you understand this? You cannot destroy the works of the devil in your life any other way except through death. No other way. Okay, let me just give you a couple of clues about how you are alive. Living your own life, you're not dead. Your own will, you're not dead. You're not under authority, you're not dead. Consuming all your finances on yourself. In other words, tithing and offering and almsgiving, you're not dead. Give me a few ideas. No, let's not. You're not opening your mouth and sharing the gospel. You're not dead. Because dead men can't get embarrassed. I know I said I get embarrassed. I get embarrassed when I have to take a cold hamburger back at McDonald's. That embarrasses me. Especially when she's only 16 and I've got to go up and say, oi, my hamburger's cold. I can't do that. That's why I send Wendy. But anyway. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't do that. I can't go up to some poor little 16-year-old kid out of school and say, hey, cold. I just can't do that. I go, I can stand in public and preach. I can dance in a post office. Go figure. Anyway, let's wrap this up. What's keeping you alive? I tell you what's keeping you alive. Your own will. Nothing else. You want to do it your own way. You want to get delivered your way. You want to get healed your way. You want to have church your way. You want to have fellowship your way. And you ain't dead. So you are not going to be able to defeat the devil. I think that's simple. So I'm going to stop there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I am a man under authority. I have people of authority in my life. If Dr. Leon tells me to do something, or Phil tells me to do something, or even the pastors and elders of this church, if it's something that I realize that I've been blindsided on, I do it very quickly. I'm inviting you to be part of the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Father, I just want to bless everybody here. But Father, I just also challenge them about Thursday night, that they come to be equipped, that they come and learn about ministry, about the things of God.